I made around like 400 last year.
Which is crazy. At 20 years old or 19 to 20, almost half a mil in your first year ever doing business. Fucking crazy, dude.
But then this is the funny part. When I hit rock bottom last year, when I like lost all my money, I was sitting in the shower and the old me would have just sat there being like, why me? Why me? Like if you literally just fucking tell yourself and believe in yourself that nothing can actually defeat you or beat you, then you're unstoppable.
Like you get one shot at this life. You don't do it. No one's going to make your dreams come true for you. No one.
I would say it comes from three things. Don't listen to your parents with certain things. Two, having a mentor. And three, surrounding yourself with people with the same goal. You're not defined by your past, you're not defined by your future, you're not defined by how much money you have, businesses, you're defined by the impact you have on others. It all starts with why you wake up. Literally have a list of your whys and hows. So why do you wake up in the morning? Why do you eat what you eat? Why are you gonna do this today? Why? And then the next list is how. If we have goals, you can tick it off and it makes you feel accomplished before you go to bed.
All right, guys, we'll keep the intro real quick on this one. We've got Caleb on the podcast again. We had him on the podcast about a year ago. If you want to hear more about his origin story, his real emotional episode. He's only 20 years old, crazy entrepreneur, really ambitious, made almost $500,000 in essentially his first full year of business on some really exciting things. So we'll get into the episode now. Do me a favor, if you're listening on YouTube, drop a like, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And if you're on audio platform, leave a 5-star review and subscribe. We've got heaps of crazy guests coming up for 2024. So excited to get into it. Let's go. All right, ready to go. Caleb, we're back for part two, brother. We were just saying before, I saw this on my phone yesterday. Tomorrow is literally 1 year to the day since we had you on the podcast the first time. So fucking there's a sign, man. And for anyone who hasn't seen that first episode, anyone listening, in a bit of a recap about who Caleb is, 20 years old, still blows my mind that you're 20 years old and you've done all this stuff. So a bit of recap about the things that I know you've got going on, and then you can tell me if I'm missing anything or whatnot. But so remember, all at the age of 20, you got a content agency, which was like the first thing that you've been known for, being a videographer. You did all that time with ICE and YKTR. Then you've traveled the world doing freelancing. So you've got that. You've got two podcasts that you run. You've got like your own mentoring program, university, teaching people how they can, you know, quit their job, become a videographer and earn money to, you know, travel the world and do what you do. You've also got an education company that you're working on, Way of the Brain, about personal development and growth, coming soon. And you launched your fashion brand, Atikophobia, not too long ago, all by yourself when you're 20 years old. Fucking mental, man. Yeah. Like think about what most 20-year-olds are doing. And that's why I wanted to have you on again. And just like, so you would have been 19 last time we had you on the podcast.
Yeah.
The shit you're doing and like how far you've grown at such a young age, bro, is crazy. And like, I feel like from where you've come and what you've gone through, it makes sense. You should have a bit of a chip on your shoulder. You should have a point to prove. And you're using all that shit as motivation, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So give us like a recap of like, I've got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about. We'll get through all them, but yeah, give us a bit of a recap. Obviously you've got a lot going on. I have a lot going on, but I'm 10 years older than you. I just turned 30 not too long ago.
Oh,
it's difficult enough for me to manage, you know, 5 or 6 different projects, let alone someone at 20. How has that experience been of going? Cause only, and what's crazy is only a year ago when we had you on the podcast the first time, you were like a few months into doing your own thing. Like it wasn't even, it was like maybe a year of doing your own thing since you quit. How has that adjustment been for you of having all this stuff on? And has it been, do you ever feel like, holy shit, I've spread myself too thin or it's difficult to manage?
It's fun, bro. Cause I feel like as a creative, like you just seem to do multiple things at once.
Yeah.
Like for me personally, like I just can't stop moving, bro. Like if I'm doing that, I need to do this, I need to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So it sort of helps me just stay creative. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm doing, let's say my university, like I'm doing my university and my agency, that's like my main thing, my videography stuff.
Yeah.
Then if I'm done with that, I go into my clothing. Mm-hmm. When I'm done with my clothing, I'll do my podcast on the side to keep learning and stuff like that. Like my goal for my podcast is like you, bro, just learn from people and just like hear other people's stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's aligned with Atikophobia. So my goal is to have Atikophobia as the clothing. I forgot to give you the merch, by the way. My goal is to have my clothing brand.
You're already on a bike. What are you going to do? Have a big fucking bike, right? Yeah. Massive fucking bike.
Just hold it like that.
Wear 3 layers coming in. Sorry, bro. It's a bit sweaty, but this one's for you.
Oh, sorry. That's not yours. So the goal is to have Atikophobia as the clothing, have the Atikophobia podcast.
Yeah.
Have a Atikophobia clothing brand course when I hit like over 500K, which would be mad. And then have Atikophobia like mindset.
Yeah. So for those that don't know what Atikophobia is or what it means, what does it mean?
Fear of failure.
Yeah. And why was that something for you that was such a big theme in your life that you decided to build everything you do around that phrase, that word?
Just because I saw it on TikTok. I literally saw the word tickophobia. I was like, what does this mean? And I said fear of failure. And I was like, holy shit, like fear of failure was holding me back for so long. So now it's like, if I can change the perception on fear of failure as I fear failure as like, I want to win. Yeah. I can't fail.
Yeah.
That's the sort of way I want to put it. But I want people to imagine it in their own sort of way.
Well, what do you say with like to the people as well? And like, where's your view on, you know, like failure, like having a fear of failure actually for you, the fear of failure might motivate you. But for a lot of people, the fear of failure stops them from actually doing anything. And as you would know, with all these different businesses you've created, it's not like every time you start a new business, day one, fucking 100K, easy money. Like there's going to be things that you have to fuck up and learn and get better. And like, do you understand that failure is part of the process? And how do you feel about failing in an effort to just keep getting better and improving and moving forward?
Yeah, 100%. Like I went through both. That's why I've done it too. Because like growing up, I always had that fear of failure. And I reckon that's what held me back with footy as well. Just the thought of like never being good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now I've just changed it. Like I believe that we all have our own thoughts. And if you can change your perception or perspective, then you can see it in your own way.
Sure. I want to ask you as well, like it's been a whole year since we've had you on the podcast. That was a fun time. We talked about kind of your origin story and all of that. A year is a long time when you're 20 and you've got your own business and you're not just plugged into the standard 9 to 5. How would you say you've changed? Like what's the biggest way you've changed in the last year? You seem a lot calmer.
Yeah.
To me, you seem calmer. Like it's, you're still in a process, but to me, you seem a lot more kind of grounded in who you are.
Yeah. Cause I actually wanted to tell you this. So I made around like 400 last year.
Yeah. It's just crazy. At 20 years old or 19 to 20, almost half a mil in like your first year ever doing business. Fucking crazy, dude.
But then this is the funny part.
Yeah.
Where'd that money go?
Yeah. See, that's the lesson, right?
I didn't know about like tax. I didn't know where to put my money. I didn't know how to invest it.
Yeah.
Dude, I looked back at it because it was around August.
Yeah.
I literally hit fucking -7K. I was like, how have I done this?
Big lesson, right?
Like, how have I fucked this so bad? Yeah. And then I was actually like low-key getting fucking depressed and shit again. I was like, holy shit. Like I've made all this money and I've just spent it on like traveling and trying to look cool and shit.
Yeah. See, what do you put it down to? Like the tax thing is a lesson that a lot of people get stuck with a lot older than you.
That hit me hard. That actually made me feel sick.
Because how was your business set up? Was it just like a sole trader? And so everything you earn is like someone's wage.
Now I've got the two business companies.
You've got the company, separate company set up. Yeah. So that's obviously a clear lesson, but talk to me more about that other stuff. Cause I saw it like, but it's also cool. I don't think there's any problem with it. Like, obviously you would have liked to save at least 100 grand, you know what I mean? from earning all that. But like you're a young kid, you're fucking traveling around the world, driving Lamborghinis, fucking doing this cool shit. What drove you to do all that stuff? And what was the lesson in terms of, yeah, it's still cool to taste those experiences, but how would you maybe do things a little bit differently in the next chapter of your life?
See, like now that I would say I learned that I don't regret anything because it was like I've lived the best life now. Like I get to do whatever I want when I want now,
yeah.
Which is mad. Like if I want to travel, I can do that. If I want to meet people, I can do that. But I actually met George Janko in Miami at the start of the year. I just said hello to him. I was like, oh, fuck, bro. Like good pod with Tate. Like I actually was Tate's filmmaker like a couple of days and shit.
George Janko, who's that? I saw you in Nodding. You knows who he is.
Yeah, he's – have you never heard of him? He's Logan Paul's old podcast host.
Oh, really? Was he kicked out or something? Was there a bit of beef? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's cool, bro.
Yeah.
He's good, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I met him and then like I watched one of his podcasts. He was just talking about like how he just like spent his money and stuff just to live like life experiences. And Joe Rogan's talked about it, that David Beckham, like all these dudes that are rich, they've just said like they've spent so much money when they first got the money.
Yeah.
Just to like get that feel. Because now that I have that feel of like freedom and shit, it makes me want to work harder.
Yeah.
That's another drive why I do what I do too.
What's that?
Well, like all the businesses and stuff.
Like you want to be able to live that sort of life.
Yeah. Right? Like it motivates me.
See, bro, I've never fucking had, I don't know what it is about me, I've never had a phase of like buying dumb shit or spending stupid money. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying what I've done's right either, but I had like a couple months where I'd like fucking buy Gucci shoes and like fuck, but like from how much we were earning, I never I never did that, but still, whenever we like travel and we fly business or in a nice hotel or whatever, even me, I always, every single time, and to me, it's not the core motivator, but when I'm living and experiencing those things, and part of the reason that I work so hard, and maybe it relates something to what you're saying, is I want to have as many experiences as I can while I'm alive that not many people get to experience.
100%.
Right? Yeah. It's and that comes up like both growing up with not a whole lot of money, you see that lifestyle and you think it's not even a possibility for you, right? You think I'm never going to be able to achieve that. And then when you go out on your own and you start a business or whatever and you come into your own money and you start having a taste of that, it's like, dude, you know, even though that isn't a massive motivator, you have those experiences, you buy those nice things, you surround yourself with those sorts of people and it becomes addictive, man.
Yeah.
And I think in balance, it can still be a really good, healthy motivator. But yeah, like definitely don't go waste all your money on that.
Well, that's the thing, like I don't like too much materialistic things. Mm-hmm. Like the only thing I have is a Gucci wrist, like a bracelet thing.
So you're spending your money on experiences, right?
Yeah, but my clothing brand cost me a fuck ton.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Tickophobia. Yeah. So how long ago did you launch?
Yeah. So I started Tickophobia November last year.
Yeah.
So the first month I made 10 grand and I was like, fuck yeah, cool. I spent around 50,000.
In total.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the whole process because a lot of people that listen to this, obviously you're not like an e-com guy, you're everything. You're just a fucking, I wanted to have you on because you're just some crazy ambitious young kid. And I think there's a lot of positive, like, motivational lessons in that and lessons from things that you've openly admit you've done wrong as well. But there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast that would love to start their own brand one day, have their own e-com store, whether it be fashion, jewelry, whatever random different product. So let's talk about the whole journey. 50K investment, that shows me you back yourself, right? You're not afraid to put in that money yourself. So talk to me about fucking the whole thing. When did you get the idea? And then how do you then go? What's the first step? How do you, you know, sampling, finding manufacturers, how did that all work? Just a quick one from me. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'd know that after scaling Happy Skin Co. to over $10 million per year, I spent close to 18 months creating the Viral Brand Builder program, which teaches someone with zero experience how to launch and scale their very own e-commerce brand. With over 100 training videos and direct access to me, including one-on-one calls, you'll be guided throughout the entire process. Now, we already have a bunch of incredible results from students that are making multiple 5 and 6 figures per month. So if you want to learn how to build a business that has the potential to completely change your life, then click the link in the description and book in an application call today. Spots are limited as you'll be speaking directly to me. So hopefully I'll chat to some of you soon. But until then, let's get back to the podcast.
Yeah, right. So basically, the way I started was I wanted a brand that, because back in high school and stuff, I used to get bullied because like I wore shit clothes and shit. I didn't know fashion.
I remember you told me as well, like when you walked into YKTR or was it what are you fucking wearing?
Yeah, bro. So I literally made my brand just so I could wear my own clothes. So I wear my own clothes anywhere.
Yeah.
Besides today, I wore this shirt, but these are my pants and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the start was I was trying to figure out what is cool, like what is in fashion, but what would I wear? Because at the end of the day, like I'm going to be wearing it. So I want to look cool.
Yeah.
So I thought, how can I stand out from the crowd where my clothes just look like they're just a vibe. Like you walk past and you're like, oh, that's Tickophobia. That's cool. And then they're sort of known for like that entrepreneur sort of mindset.
So you launched in November. When did you start like ordering samples or sketching up designs and stuff?
I started right after a couple of weeks after our podcast.
So you launched in like 7 months or something like that?
Yeah, I'll tell you why it took so long. So
that's not too bad for a fashion brand, man. 7 months. Yui, how long did it take you to launch your business? 2 years. How long I've been working on the fashion brand? Fucking 3 years, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's not been the first priority. I've got obviously a lot of things on, but it's now very quickly becoming a high priority. But yeah, see, seven months is not that bad at all, is what I'm saying.
But I just send it, bro. So like when I first talked to you, I told you about a Tickophobia, but I didn't know like I was actually
going to go through. What it was going to be,
So I basically drew up the designs. I was going for the essential vibe because I love essentials. I was like, shit, I might just like sort of do what they do, same feel. Basically the same look.
Hey, model what works. It's fucking very.
Well, I was looking at all the like high-end brands like representing all that. They all copy each other. So I was like, shit, okay, I want the staple piece just to be like safe.
Yep.
Which was the piece I have now, just white and black.
White and black hoodie. Did you have tees as well? White, black hoodies, tees and cargos, yeah?
Yeah. So the whole vibe is monochrome as well. Mm-hmm. So when I started it, I thought, okay, I used to see my life as black and white. So that's why I'm going to call it monochrome. So all the drops, if you see, it would be like midnight black and stuff. Cause like midnight was when you're most sad and shit or the most creative and stuff. So
what do you mean by that? That's really interesting. I used to see my life in black
like
and white.
Monochrome. Whoa. Like now I see colors, bro. Like now that I'm like happy and shit, like I've got like a sense of like purpose and shit. Mm. But when I didn't have purpose, everything was just tunnel vision, black and white. I hate everything. I hate
life. You're living
life.
In survival mode. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that I've escaped that, I want people that are in that monochrome sort of feeling that it's black and white that they can make it out to.
And people that are listening, have a look. The way you approach the brand and all the branding and your website and everything is extremely different to most people would
Did you like the approach intro?
It. Did you see yeah, it? Yeah. It's not set up in the traditional way like an e-com store would be. It's very much design and emotion first, right? It's an experience, even everything. Anytime you land on your website or your Instagram, it's very different. Where did all those ideas come from? We spoke about this before, like your brain's like just got unlimited creativity and sometimes it's a great thing and sometimes you fucking don't sleep because of it, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, so with my new tactic is just focus on our community. Like I don't really care about making that money back because I've sort of fucked it anyway.
Yeah.
So right now I just want to focus on community. So I've literally got about 12 to 20 vlogs already sorted, mm-hmm. like all my ideas. So I'm going to do fortnightly vlogs. And I basically just want my campaigns to be like a movie sort of vibe.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I don't know if you saw my intro, but I basically like copied the Netflix intro, but it says it's Icophobia.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how it starts the vlog. But yeah, I'm just focusing on community because if you don't have a community, then who are you selling to? So I just want to focus on getting at least 100 loyal people mm-hmm. that fuck with me. Because 100's all you need to
I'm
like,
sure you'd probably already, how many followers do you have now, by the way?
Oh, dude, I've dropped down like from, I lost around like 5,000 followers.
Still fucking like.
I got 83
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure you can find 100 people from 80,000.
It's hard though, because clothing's so separate from like my personal brand.
It is.
Like my first month.
That's
like,
why you got to integrate everything you do, right?
Yeah. I need to figure out how to set up like my store on Instagram mm-hmm. so people can watch my reels and just click yeah. product and shit.
Yeah.
You figure that out.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, easy. But yeah, I'm just like focusing on marketing and stuff because I've got all the ideas. I just need to execute it.
Yeah. So all right, let's rewind again for a second. So 50 grand total investments, pretty big whack.
Yeah.
Big more than most people put into their startup brand. How was the sampling process? I've gone through that. I know it can be a nightmare. I've got another box of samples there. Like the reason for me why it took 3 years is because for one, it wasn't a rush, but we've gone through loads of different manufacturers. And obviously if it's a brand and you're going to be selling predominantly like hoodies and stuff, I want to launch it coming into winter. And so we wouldn't be able to hit the deadline. The manufacturers wouldn't get it. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm not launching hoodies in summer. So it waits. So I know how tedious that process can be. If you've got really high standards and you're not going to sell anything other than fucking tip top. How long was the sampling process for you? Did they get it right pretty quickly? Did you have like an intro to your manufacturer or did you have to message a bunch of them and figure that out?
I was actually going to originally start a Icophobia with a girl.
Why did that break down?
She literally told me she wasn't invested. Like
okay.
She wasn't 100% invested,
yeah.
Which was weird because I was paying for everything. I just wanted her to sort out the manufacturing and just like help with designs. Mm-hmm. That's literally it.
Fuck, that sounds like a pretty good deal for her.
Bro, I was full offering her 20%.
Yeah.
Like she really had to do nothing. So she was nice enough to let me keep her manufacturer. Mm-hmm. I had to go through 4 samples because she fucked up the first 2.
Yeah.
Which broke me because like my money was just fucking flying out
it's
the window.
It's not cheap sampling,
it's not. Samples, because I bought 2 hoodies of each color, each size, mm-hmm. for me and her, because I wanted to see what it would look like on a girl.
Yeah.
So that just fucking, I think that cost me around 2,000 just on like the 4 samples.
Crazy, right?
Well, the 4 time sampling.
Yeah, yeah. Samples cost so much, dude. Like people think.
It's more the shipping that people don't understand.
Well, then that's fucking crazy. To ship like one hoodie from China is like 130 USD.
Yeah. So after that, I finally got like the perfect fit, like the perfect hoodie, the perfect shirt. It feels insane.
Do you guys do, was it all like, did you have to send them custom dimensions or did they have like different blank sizes you could choose from?
I actually got Lukey to help me out and this other girl in Cronulla.
Yeah.
She sort of helped me out with like how to Photoshop it and stuff.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But I basically just sketched it Like I would just measure the shirt,
yep.
measure the length. I would just look on like different websites, which material was the most popular. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's basically how I went through that.
So why did it, what did they fuck up the first couple of times?
I honestly don't know. It would have been miscommunication with the other girl.
No, so like when you got him, you're like, this ain't right. What was wrong with it?
Oh, when I did, I got it first go. So I was like, what okay. the fuck? Like,
okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't clear enough. Yeah. So when I first did it, yep. I was just, you have to tell them exactly what you want.
100%. Because there's also like a language barrier there, right?
100%. Mm-hmm. But my manufacturer is so cool, bro. She's a legend. So yeah, she sorted it out, figured it out, sent it to me. I was so happy with it. So I only got black ones at the start. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, fuck, like maybe I need white. So I ordered white. And then that took another month. Mm-hmm. And then I got around July. When I was in Dubai in April, I was like, okay, fuck, I need to make my brand even cooler. So what can I do? I went all out, bro, with like, I think it was 23,000 to get these custom boxes made. That was one of the dumbest investments because I've got all these boxes sitting at home and they're too big. So like I've just splashed 25K that I can't even fit the clothes in there because it's just too big. It looks weird. I only send it if people get like over two items.
See, bro, that's why, like, I'm so glad, like, you just fucking be honest with the things that work and things that don't work to save people that. Like, you think you're doing the right thing and you're like, I'm going to perfect every detail. And that, like, doing those sort of things is great, but at the same time, MVP, what do you just need to launch? And, like, you're always going to incrementally improve things, right?
100%.
But now you're sitting on 25K worth of boxes that are almost unusable. How many did you have to order?
Oh, I think I've got about 700 boxes.
Yeah.
In boxes.
How much each box, bro? Because we've been getting quotes, and I could probably do the math, but I'm not the best at math off the top of my head. But like we're getting quotes like $10 USD per box from some manufacturer. For a box, Yuri. $10 per box.
That's pretty crazy.
Crazy, bro. That's not the one we're going to go with, obviously. No. But I know some of them are fucking
I can send
really
you
expensive.
My box manufacturer.
Yeah, maybe.
Mine's like, I think it's like $6 USD. So like $9 Australia.
Yeah, still pretty expensive though for like a shipping box. So what was the problem? Too big. It looks weird if you put a hoodie in.
Yeah, I'll show you next time I come in, bro. Yeah. It's just like, it's about this big.
Yeah.
I just wanted a bit more smaller. But they told me, I shouldn't have listened to them because they're like, oh, maybe a bit bigger. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever you think. But I was just more like a
quick thing.
I wasn't really thinking
about it. That's like another thing. Like when you're communicating, like specific and detail orientated and make sure like a fucking 10-year-old could understand it.
Yeah.
Like you have to be that clear. There might be ways you can save it. If you use like packing paper or those peanuts in like a cool way,
that's what
where
I've
it
done,
can
yeah.
like sunk into it. So it's like, oh, okay, it's not as random.
It looks cool. Like when you open it up, it's got the photo of like the girl doing that. Mm. It says you are now part of the 0.1% and it's also got Tick Phobia on the top. Like it's the coolest box. When you see it, you'll be like, that's fucking hectic.
So you spent, what's crazy is you spent nearly as much on boxes as you did on all the clothes itself.
Yeah. So if I didn't buy the boxes, I would have only spent around 25,000.
Yeah, that would have been.
And I would have profited 20K.
Yeah.
Now that I've bought the boxes, I'm like not even going to profit at this point. So I'm actually going
to
lose.
What's like, you still got a decent amount of stock left or you'll have to do another order soon?
No, I've got heaps.
Yeah.
I sold, I don't know how much I've sold. Does it have it on Shopify?
It would. I think you had like, it was like around 100K I saw recently somewhere.
Oh, how much I've made?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
What was, I don't know, bro. I saw a screenshot or something. See, let's talk about that as well, bro. People think they launch a brand and it's just like sells like hotcakes easily. It's not like that, eh?
It's really not. I've sold 100.
Yeah. That's pretty good, bro. 100.
Yeah, 100 is cool.
Yeah. Now, what's been the like thing about, and then we're not just talking about your brand because you do so many things, but like what's been one of the things about actually starting a brand that's surprised you the most or has challenged you the most that you didn't think maybe would be that way?
Definitely how much you lose and the commitment you have to have.
Massive, right?
Because I was doing my university and my videography before and that's, you don't lose any money for that. Maybe camera gear and stuff like that, but you don't really lose as much as you do in clothing. You actually have to invest into clothing and then just hope people will buy.
Yeah.
And then people always ask for discounts because I got a lot of followers overseas that buy it. So like I make a lot more from them just because it's overseas. Mm-hmm. But they're shipping, bro, so much.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, fuck, I can't give you a discount because like, then I'm not going to profit. And just like, giving you free shit basically.
100%. There's no point, bro. You got, and like, and that's the thing as well. A lot of, I know Isis spoke about this as well. Like, you know, you launch a brand, you take a risk, you invest like fucking nearly everything you have in the bank. Then all the old friends come out of the woodwork. Hey bro, check your discount code or can I have some freebies? It's like,
yeah.
Like, what? Like, I've just invested tens of thousands of dollars, taking a big risk, and like, you won't like put like $100 to support your friend's business, and like, you're spending $100, and not like they're making $100 clean profit. Like, you know what I mean? And you're giving you, like, they'll go buy any hoodie they see at fucking General Pants or whatever, and they don't even think twice.
Yeah.
But they see a mate launch a business and they're like, nah, surely I'll just wait until he sends me free. Yeah.
That just reminds me, literally all my mates, bro, besides maybe two, have bought my stuff.
That's sick.
Nah, I'm fucking annoyed, bro.
Man, have bought your stuff?
Yeah, have. Only two.
Oh, I thought you said all of your mates
two. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, other way around.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This is the biggest lesson that I've learned, and this is for everyone. People will say they will buy it and they never will. So don't take people's word because it's bullshit. They're going to be like, yeah, I can't wait to support you. Oh, I'm going to buy a hoodie. You know how many people said to me like 5 minutes before I dropped?
Really?
That they would buy?
Really?
And I was just looking at their name, like viewed my website, but they didn't even click on it. I was like, nah, that's fucked.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest lesson. Never take someone's word, no matter who it is. Like even your friends, like.
So what have you done? Like, obviously it seems like a lot of what you've sold has just come off the back of your own personal brand, right? Your own organic content.
Yeah.
Have you done any paid ads or tried any of that stuff or?
No, because I don't think I deserve to do it yet. I always rank my life on like deserving it. So if I put in the work, then I'll be like, yeah, it's time for ads.
Okay.
But because I haven't, like, I'm not consistent on TikTok, I'm not consistent on Instagram, like I don't deserve to do ads.
No, it's an interesting thing that you say, but in terms of just looking at it, not so much from a life point of view, from a business point of view, I would agree in the sense like until you can build like a consistent foundation and base and like build that, you know, initial tribe of 50, 100 people that are big fans, do that first, then like you might be able to set up some paid ads and scale
from the
beginning.
Yeah.
But wait till you're consistent first, build that tribe, those advocates, those fans of your brand. No one can really create organic content like you. So it's like, if you were consistently just every day waking up, how do I make cool content for a tickophobia? Things will happen really quickly, but it's just up to you. Like, when can you commit that time to that one thing? And that's the challenge about being spread across so many different projects. Some of them have to miss out at certain times.
Yeah, I can definitely do it, bro. Like now I've like started to allocate my time. Mm-hmm. A lot more effective because it's 24 hours in a day. I probably sleep like 4 hours still. So like there's enough time to get everything done.
So what does an average week look like for you?
Average week?
Like how many days you're on what business and like, yes, like what's it actually look like?
It's all over the place really. Like it's not organized as much as I want it to be. If I had a girlfriend or if I had like a girl that could organize my shit, bro, I'd be hectic. Even a dude, like just someone to like keep me in line.
Yeah.
Because I've just got so much going on that I sort of like bounce around. But my week right now, just wake up, train, and then just film and then like have my one-on-one calls. If I have a client, I have to do my client. It's really random, bro. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, every day. I'm just trying to paint the picture for people that like want an insight into what it's like, okay, if I go quit my job and what I'm actually going to be doing. But like, so where do you think out of all the projects you're working on, what's taking up the most time? Is it like the travelpreneur, like your university?
Yeah, my university.
Would you say that's like your main business?
Yeah, just because you have to actually, like I genuinely help people out.
Mm-hmm.
Like this year, for example, like I've got a group chat with all the students. They're starting to make the money now,
which is the cool part.
Because then they're like, oh, wow, like this was the best investment. Because that's like the main goal. Like you don't want them to just feel like you've just wasted their money.
Yeah.
So my main goal is to make sure like, they just listen and make the money. And then there's another struggle where it's like, if they don't do it, like I don't have to do it, but I always message and be like, yo, you need to start doing shit.
Yeah.
Like, what's your problem? Like, you're going to make me look bad.
That's the thing, bro. Yeah. Like you can lead it. Like what's the saying? You can lead a camel to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
Why? I want to talk about more about that because I think it's a really interesting business model, right? It's like, why do you think so many people will say, you know, I've got these big dreams. I've got these really big goals. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to start this business. I'm going to start this side hustle. I'm going to start a YouTube channel. I'm going to start making content. I'm going to do all these things. But they don't. Like, what is it that stops people? From your point of view, everyone will have a different opinion. But what is it from your point of view that just stop people from actually taking action?
Fear of failure. No, I would say, like I was telling this guy before, I only believe some people have the entrepreneur mindset. Because if you don't have like that risk-taking mindset, then you just can't do it.
Risk-taking mindset, but also as well, even though it's weird, right? Everyone has their own set of insecurities, their own things that, you know, their own chip on their shoulder for whatever different reason. Like nearly every ambitious person, that drive came out of an insecurity or a lack of at some point earlier in their life. So it's like, if you're insecure about something, whether it be conscious or subconscious, or like you don't feel like you're not enough, like isn't that a fucking reason? For me anyway, this is how I always responded. If I ever felt down or not enough or not good enough in whatever way, I'll be like, I'll show everyone.
Yeah.
You know, bro, what I mean?
It's weird because we should get someone on that like genuinely is stuck.
Yeah.
Because for us, we're like, just do it. Like,
just do it. Yeah. If you really, that's the thing. Like sometimes like, it's annoying be
because it's like, it's really fucking easy. Like you just got to do it.
You just got
to
do it.
But for us, our mindset's so different to theirs. Like I talk to my mates at work, like a trade and stuff. Like they're happy doing that. But then my other mate, he's like, he's been talking about starting a YouTube channel for 10 years, bro. I've known him since I was like 7 or whatever. And he's just like, oh man, I want to do a YouTube channel. I want to do pranks and stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. Do it. Never did it. I'm a videographer now, bro. I can teach you how to edit film. Still hasn't done it. Talked about it like 4 weeks ago on his birthday. I'm like, bro, I don't even want to hear it anymore. Like,
exactly, oh, right? Like, what can you do?
Yeah.
Like, dude, if you fucking actually started 10 years ago, even if you were shit for the first 5 years, you would have learned so much. You would have got so much better. He could have been fucking doing YouTube full time by now.
What would you say your advice would be?
Dude, I really don't know. It's really hard. No, it's not advice in terms of like why people don't do it. I can't comprehend it. And I've had to understand that this is why I'm very grateful to be me. And I'm very grateful to have the mind that I have. And I'm looking for ways to understand different people that aren't wired the same as me to find out how to motivate them. I think deep down, like everyone has a motivation in them big enough to do it. I think fear of failure is genuinely a big one. I think fear of judgment is another one. I think a lot of people blow up. They don't like to me. Okay. If I'm going to take a risk, right? The way I look at it, and I don't know if anyone listening, if you're kind of stuck, if this will make them see it in a different way or not. But if I look at like, okay, I'm going to work my whole life going to this 9 to 5, whether it be some office job or a trade, I do all that. Then that's 60% of your week done. You get home, you're tired. You can't be bothered to do anything. You got a more, you maybe you save up, you get a mortgage, you do all that. You get 2 days of the week to enjoy yourself, 2.5 really, because Sunday afternoon you start getting depressed because you know you got to wake up and go to work every day for the next week. People will think that's the safe option when by the time they've paid their bills, they've paid their rent, they've paid their mortgage, they're probably saving a couple hundred bucks in their bank account anyway. How is that this like, I don't like, whereas take a risk, start your business, do it on the side. If it fails, what are you going to do? You go back and get another job. They always blow up that failure, what it's going to look like different to them. And it stops them from doing it. Now it's different if you're 35 and you have 2 young kids, but I still think it's like,
I don't think it's different. I think you can still do
the
it.
Way you approach it is different, but it's no different at all. What sort of example do you want to set for your kids to not chase your dreams, to never take risks, to play it safe, to be stuck in the system for your whole life? So to me, it's like if you can break it down like that and you see, okay, what's the best case scenario? That's like the dream outcome, the dream vision for your life. Isn't that enough to, you know, help motivate you? And then, okay, from where you are right now, it's probably not that high. You probably ain't that happy if you're feeling stuck, right? What's the worst case scenario? You go back like 1 or 2 steps,
yeah.
But you can go forward 1,000, like you just have to do it and you have to figure out a way if you're a little bit like more risk adverse, do it in a way where you don't quit your job. Like you do a side hustle, you shoot weddings on weekends or you do videography, whatever it may be for you, just start.
Yeah, 100%.
To me, it's like, otherwise you'll never have it. Like you get one shot at this life.
Yeah.
You don't take the, you don't do it. No one's going to make your dreams come true for you. No one. And whether you want to play it safe and, you know, avoid judgment or whatever, like people all the time, like a big part of like what's working really well in e-com, obviously there's a number of things, but like something that's been a trend, as you would see with you, you said, how good is all these content? Organic content for e-com brands from, you know, 2023, 2024 has been massive. Like not just like product-based stuff. Yeah, that's really cool. But the stuff that's working really well in terms of organic content and in ads is founder-focused content, whether it just be the founder speaking about, hey, this is our, you know, after payday sale, this is what we're doing, or it's a more behind the scenes thing like you and stuff. That's what's working so bad. And I'll be telling people if they've got the right sort of business and the right sort of needs, just go, you putting your face to it would really, really perform really well. And they will do it. We'll have that conversation. We'll speak a month or 2 months later and they haven't done it. And I said, what's the worst that can happen? You post a video, it doesn't perform well. All that means is not many people see it.
Yeah, but people need to understand, if you jump on a skateboard, you're not going to learn how to ollie straight away. Like, you can't go into a gym and get shredded straight away. Like, it takes time. I feel like, I would say it comes from three things. And these are my three things I tell my students. Don't listen to your parents with certain things, because parents are the ones that are
100%.
Well, it's
and
true.
I love my parents and I love my mom, but if I listened to her, I wouldn't have taken any of these risks.
Because they just love you,
got
and it's for safety.
Got a different mindset, bro. They grew up in a different time as well.
Yeah, but it's a safety net too.
Safety net, yep.
They don't understand, especially my students, bro. Like, I tell them, you're going to make thousands from video. No, what, how? Mm-hmm. Like, I only know how to like fucking build houses and shit. Like, yep. No, like there's money to be made. Like, money's being printed right now as we're talking.
Yep. So number one, don't listen to your parents. And I understand that as well. They have the best for you, but it's like, if you want the same life as your parents, listen to them. If you want something different, obviously you've got to do things differently, and that's fine.
100%. Yeah. So I'd say one, listen to your parents. Two, having a mentor. I believe having a mentor will sort of give you the confidence and guide. Like, my mentors have been my school teacher, Ice, Luke Belmar, and now my mentor is more just like me teaching myself, like, honestly. So life, it's always, right? Yeah, life is just my mentor right now. So I believe if you learn from someone and just get to talk to someone, it's that, like, that could be a safety net where it's like, shit, like, I have this guy and I don't feel alone, because it does get lonely.
Massively. Like, so going and starting your own thing, whether it's just you or you have a business partner, regardless, it's fucking lonely. And it's scary when you're doing it for the first time and your parents or your friends haven't done this before. So having people around you to guide you through that have done that, massive cheat code, because it cuts down, you know, you'll learn you'll learn in 6 months what will take you 6 years.
100%.
Like, think about how much you changed when you spent whatever, a month or whatever it was with Luke Belmar. Crazy, dude, right? You came back a different person.
I literally did, yeah.
What messages stands out from you? I know there would have been heaps, but is there anything, messages or things he said to you that like have changed the way you think since that point?
Dude, a lot. That guy is a smart motherfucker.
Eh? Really smart, eh?
Like, I watch his content and I'm like, fuck, he's just like, to be back in that room with him, like, it'd be nice to get it like a refresh, you know?
Yeah.
But before I met him, I was docile, like, just, I just felt lost, bro. Like, I don't know how to explain
it. A little bit of a puppy dog, bro. You're like 18 or
I actually felt 19. Like I was on strings getting controlled and shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, the amount of shit, like, he opened me up more than just my mindset. Like, he opens me up to like how everything works in life. It sort of fucked me up too. I was like, shit, it's like he's sad.
Yeah.
But and
that experience, because you even obviously like spent time like with the Tates and stuff. And I was rewatching some of the videos and the clips of them giving you advice, Luke, and them giving you advice. And it's like, dude, like, you were such a baby then compared to even now. Like, you would 18, have been learning, you know, some people hate them, some people love them, whatever, but you would have been learning and growing up and like fucking from just this kid from Blacktown area, like from Western Sydney, and hearing all this stuff for the first time, like, you would have been just spinning, I imagine.
Dude, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I was getting told like biohacking with the body. I was learning how to like the world works, how money works, how to talk, like tone of voice, well. How to dress, how to read a room. Like, this dude taught me like a lot of shit. And the main thing I took away would be, I'll say two things. I've said it before. You're not defined by your past nor your future. You're not defined by your past. You're not defined by your future. You're not defined by how much money you have, the businesses. You're defined by the impact you have on others. And I took that in. I was like, damn, I told this guy like my purpose is to share my story. Like, I told him when I go back home, like, I'm going to share my story. And he basically.
That was before you had really spoken. Like, obviously.
I didn't. So I was like, bro, I didn't open up till like. Oh, actually. Yeah. Around when I met him. Cause he gave me that confidence to be like, fuck it. Like, who gives a shit, you know? But, crazy. Yeah, that was his first piece of advice. And then the second one is being a walking Lamborghini. So his brother, Nate, is just shredded as like fucking sexy kind.
What are they, where are they from? Like
Spain. Spanish, yeah.
Spanish, cool.
So Nate's just this fucking sexy god looking like dude. And he just took his shirt off and he was literally, where were we? I think we were in Budapest in Hungary. So he's just walking around with his shirt off. Didn't give a fuck, bro. Everyone's staring at him and shit. I literally had the camera on like chicks' reactions and dudes' reactions and everyone's just looking at him. And he just said to me, he's like, Caleb, this is my one advice. You're fat right now. You need to be a walking Lamborghini.
Wow.
He's like, when you walk into a room, you smell the best. You look the best. You dress the best. You've got the best physique. You've got the best smile. You've got the best confidence. Like, you just have to be the best at everything and you'll gain respect without even having to speak. And I was like, damn, that's so true. Like now when I walk into a room, I feel like I bring a fucking, what's the word? Aura or?
Yeah, aura, yeah.
Yeah, like I bring an aura to a room because I just know how to talk to people now. Like I can talk to anyone and make them feel happy or motivated or whatever.
And isn't that crazy? It's like, I feel like that in today's day and age, there'll be a lot of people that'll try and be like, you know, toxic masculinity and throw that shit around.
Well, there's a difference. There's ego and then there's like.
But it's like, it's just stupid because like, what's the alternative? You want people to be depressed, losers, fat, out of shape, unhappy. Like there's nothing wrong with the young person, male or female, but obviously I can only speak from the male experience. Like, bro, think about me. I was red hair, freckles, skinny kid. I could have become, no joke, I could have went a completely different way, right? I wasn't the best looking kid, but like, so what I started doing, I started going to the gym and at least I had a body. Then you grow up and like you get a beard and you learn how to dress and you learn how to speak and you get confident. You build yourself up step by step by step, brick by brick until you're this fucking completely different person. And like, you think that's a bad thing? I think guys should be motivated by stuff like that.
100%.
You know what I mean? That's the way to get change. And then what I've gone through now, like as you get older, you see things for what they are and your reasoning and motivations change, but it's a means to an end, right? You got to find your into that. So that's a really good second point. And what was your, have we got to the third point of what you tell students?
The first one was don't listen to your parents. The second one, I'd say friends and family. Let's just keep that as number one. So friends and family, number one, don't listen to them. Two was having a mentor. And three, surrounding yourself with people with the same goal. So if I'm hanging out with people that are creative, guess what? I'm going to be more creative. If I'm hanging out with people that want to do drugs and party each weekend, what am I going to do? Drugs and party every weekend. And I have this conversation with a lot of people. Like, for example, one of my students is from Italy. I had a call with him this morning before I was here. He's now made over $1,000 in the past month. And he's just getting better and better at videography. And then there's other kid where he just doesn't film. He always has excuses and he's always partying. And I'm just like, bro, this is literally why you are where you are. So I just tell him, you need to surround yourself with better people. That's literally it. Like I hang out with Jason Robinson, who's a videographer, or I hang out with him nearly every day. We just film, talk.
When he's making that content hype house, I'm telling you, he's got to make it happen.
Nah, I don't think he'll do it, eh? I've got other mates that I could probably get a house, but bro, I don't know. I'm the only kid that I swear would just fucking do it. Like I don't
give a shit. We were talking yesterday on the phone when we're organizing this, like what's the thought? Cause I saw that story and then I didn't really think of it. You mentioned yesterday. I think, I don't know how it came up. Caleb, like you got my big move into Melbourne. I'm like, fuck, I better get him to come in before he goes. What's the thought of like going and investing in this really nice place in Melbourne potentially? Like,
oh, no, sorry, but I was talking shit about that.
Okay, I was like, here we go. He's like, oh, Dylan, I'm spending all my money. I'm going to spend 10 grand a month on this fucking penthouse in Melbourne.
Sometimes you got to do things to get some girls, you know?
Okay. See, that's it. Sometimes I'm like, wow, you're only 20. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, you're 20.
I'm 20, yeah.
I know. Fair enough, bro. Fuck. I can't believe
bro, 20. You know how many people have asked me about
that? Hey, got me to get you in today. So that's all that matters.
As long as I've like people invested into my life, I'm happy, man.
Yeah. So one thing though, we talk about, you know, that building blocks to become a better person. And now you feel like you've obviously learned to, you know, speak and hold yourself in a room a lot better. Talk to me about the journey of coming out of your shell, finding your voice, you know, walking up, you know, shoulders back. Because when you first, even before the Luke Belmer trip and everything, like from what I've seen and what I've heard talking to you and Ice and whatnot, when you first walked into YKTR, you were a shy, proper shy.
I wish I met you before I met Luke, bro. I really did. You can ask my mate, Mitch Costa. He's actually from the area as well. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I was his videographer and he saw me. I'm building Way of the Brain with him.
Yeah.
But he saw me before.
Yeah, then, I would know a lot of people that know him for sure.
Dude, I come back and I was just, oh, he knows George.
Oh yeah, Georgie Favs.
Yeah. So I when I first saw him, Like he was sort of teaching me a couple of things, trying to teach me like the mindset and stuff. I come back from Luke Belmar and I was a complete different person. I was teaching him things and he was like, holy shit. So that's why we're going to do Way of the Brain as well, just because he's like known me from back then. Mm. And he's like very educated too.
So how do you think, so by the time you left YKTR and went out on your own, do you feel like you were still, obviously compared to where you are now, you were still shy, like guarded, shy?
Now, honestly, the moment I left YKTR, I feel like I just got this massive confidence boost. I think because I would watch Simi a lot because he had a lot of confidence and ego.
That kind of oozes aura. You know what I mean?
Because like when I was like in the phase of trying to leave, like Simi would tell me, he's like, bro, you need to be a sword. Like your camera is a sword. I'm like, what are you talking about?
And he's so like, philosophical, huh?
Yeah. But you know Simi, he's like, fuck. He's like being serious, but he's fucking around.
No, he's hilarious. But he actually means what he says in weird ways.
So his quote was, he just called me because I was like upset on the train, bro. And he's like, Caleb, your camera is a sword. Like you need to slash it. Like you need to use it as your like tool. And I was like, damn, you're right. So when I left, I felt like I sort of took away from all the boys into my own personality. So I got Ice's ego. I took Jordan's like confidence. I took like Jackson's reading in the room. Like just like I took all the boys in like certain parts mm-hmm. and I just put it into my own body.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. It sounds weird, but in my head it makes sense. Fair. But yeah, I just left, bro, and I just felt confident as started talking to chicks easy.
Were you more like shy or reserved when it come to like girls and stuff, like through like your teenage years prior to that?
No, not really. It was more, bro, at YKTL is weird because those boys were so like high on egos, like their egos were up here. It sort of made me feel like I wasn't as high as them just because they were playing NRL. They achieved more than me.
But they're just so much older, bro. Of course, they're older. It's natural.
Like they're literally way older.
Yeah.
Like 50, 40. Yeah, so like I took away from that. Like I think Simi said it. When I first joined after like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he's like, you're a good looking kid, man. Too bad you're not confident though. I sort of took that as like a dig, but it was like something I needed to work on.
For sure. So what's your advice to people? Like if you get you're mentoring these people to, you know, do what you've done, like how do they become more confident? How do they, you know, start working towards creating their own freedom?
It all starts with why you wake up. Like literally have a list of your whys and hows. So why do you wake up in the morning? Why do you eat what you eat? Why are you going to do this today? Why? And then the next list is how. How are you going to do it? How are you going to wake up? How are you going to dress? How are you going to do this? Because you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, like it's actually not that hard to achieve. Because I feel like I'll talk about men because I don't really know how women think. But for a man, if we have goals and like I feel like women are the same. If we have goals, you can tick it off and it makes you feel accomplished before you go to bed. So that's why I can't sleep because like if I haven't ticked off everything, then.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how have you been sleeping recently?
2-3 days ago, I had like 2 days or even 3 days no sleep. I've been pumping Red Bulls, eh?
It's not good, bro. I know people that like pump Red Bulls in their early 20s and have had heart attacks and shit. So be careful.
If I live a good life, man, if I die with a smile, that's all that matters.
Yeah, but then let's go back to what you said before. Like the only value, the only thing that matters is the impact you have on others. How do you impact others if you're not here?
See, the weird thing, bro, I believe I'll have a bigger impact if I die.
No, I disagree.
The reason why, bro, I believe Kobe wouldn't have been, like he was like insane. Like he was a beast, but when he died, it impacted me, bro. I didn't even know the dude. I lost a mate.
Yeah. I was in LA when he died and like the whole city was fucking.
Yeah.
It was on Australia Day, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It was on Australia Day.
But see how it had such an impact?
Like, but he's Kobe, like become Kobe. And then when we're in your 40s or 50s, then we can.
That's my goal.
It. Yeah.
Like I looked up to XXXTentacion my whole life.
Is he got shot or something?
Yeah. He's the rapper. Bro, he was so intelligent, bro. Like he talks about how to open your third eye up and stuff. Like he was
into that real spiritual shit, bro. Man. That's a whole other thing, man. The world is a crazy place, man. I don't know what like comes up on your like you're on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
X or whatever it's called.
My phone time is like 3 hours now, bro. I'm like,
that's good.
That's why I'm probably
cut
happy.
Down heaps. Yeah. That's why you're happier.
Yeah, I'm just never on my phone.
Yeah, nah. I've been on my phone a lot less actually lately as well. Just have not fucking had time. Back to Travelpreneur. So like obviously there's a whole program and like the calls and stuff that are involved, but like high level, if someone's listening and like they already have a camera and they wanted to do something. So like, what's the high level process of like, okay, how do you start? Obviously there's the whole mindset piece, but what's the extra process for someone that wants to like even just start making extra money, a shoot on the one shoot a weekend or one shoot a fortnight, then build that? How can people get started with videography?
It's honestly not hard, bro. Like my simple way of doing it is just film as much as you can, create like spec ads, which is basically like a fake commercial. Like let's just say I grab this bottle of water. We make a commercial for this water. Then we can send it to other brands. Like,
yeah, look at this.
Yeah, like this is what I've done. Because people want to visually see it. Like if I sent you, like let's just say Happy Co. Mm-hmm. It's like if you get to see the product, if you get to see the video of my work, then you'll be like, oh shit, dude, that's mad. That's like really I want to work with you. So creating spec ads is very important. You can literally go on Google Maps. This is what I used to do. I used to go on Google Maps and I'd write a list of all my local cafes. I'd look up things I wanted to do like go-karting and stuff. And I'll just message all of them, email them. And the simple term is if you message 10 people a day, let's just start with 10 people, five times a week, how many people is that? 50. Exactly. Out of 50 people, surely there's going to be at least three clients that say yes. So when my students tell me, oh, I'm not making enough money, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I've told you what to do. Just do it. How many people have you messaged? Oh, I haven't had time. Cool. You don't want it bad enough. Like it's actually so easy to do anything really.
Yeah, we had the boys on from Bayjuice like a month ago or something like that. They're like, you drink it before you drink alcohol. It's like a hangover prevention drink. And they had like a contact or a mentor that had done really well in terms of getting like stocked in all these stores. And they go to him, he goes like, oh, like, can you, you know, just give us a bit of a plug-in intro us to, you know, just 100 stores or 200 stores just to help us get the momentum going. And he goes, how many are you? You know, how many like shops are you walking up to and approaching a week? They go, probably about maybe 10 a day, 50, like do 200 a week and then come talk to me. And they do 200 a week. I don't know if this 200 a week or month, or whatever, I might be fucking up the time periods, but go from 50 to 200 and then come talk to me and I'll intro you. By the time they go up to 200 a week, they don't need to then go and ask them for the advice because that's all that you need to actually increase your output. And it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. And that's what like in terms of sales, right? Some really good sales advice or sales videos that I've seen. It's like, cause I've done cold calling before. I've done all that. Like and I think this is what fucks with people. Not just that I'm a master salesperson. It's like, if you approach every call and think that your goal is to close every call, every time you don't close a call, you're going to beat yourself up. You're going to feel shit. And then eventually you're not going to want to pick up the phone and call anyone else.
Also it ruins a fan base too. That's what I believe.
For sure. But if you just have the call and you do your best, you listen to them, you figure out how you can help them, you present that to them in the best way, you do all that. And if it's not for them, it's not for them. The goal is to find out, is this for them or not? Because if you have, you know, 20 people on your list, there's going to be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 that say yes anyway. So you just have to get through them enough to find them. And if someone says no and you've done your best. The goal isn't to try and close every single person. It's just to find the people that are right or what you can help them with. And that's a big thing. And I didn't know that when I was doing like sales and like, fuck, it's good it's good to do cold calling. Is like, if you want to be an entrepreneur, go to a year or two of sales.
It's a good start.
It sucks. But that's why it's good because it shows you learn a lot. But it's like, I wish I knew that back then. And I did to an extent, but it's like, you still have that bit of ego. You want to be fucking, you know, closing everyone doing really good. But it's like, same thing with like people that are reaching out to influencers, right? Or reaching out to, you know, publications to write a story on their brand. It's a numbers game. You just have to put the output out. You do that consistently. And at the same time, okay, if you're not getting the amount of responses you want, play around with your messaging, play around with the way you structure things, play around with what you're sending. If you keep trying to do that better and you just keep the output up, you will be successful, guaranteed.
Yeah.
But if people get discouraged to keep going from that point because of fear of failure, judgment, I'm not good enough, can't be bothered, I don't know what to do, and they stop. But it's all an output game.
It is.
You tripping out looking at the back wall?
No. I was just thinking like I see life as a video game. Mm-hmm. Like if you see life, like me personally, I used to play GTA and NBA 2K a lot. And when I play life, it's just like more fun. Like you see numbers go up, you see your character develop. You can change the character, how he looks and stuff. I'm making a video on that, by the way, for like a Tickophobia.
What's that?
So my marketing campaign will be like two guys playing like a game.
Cool.
And then it goes into like real life video game.
Yeah, that's sick. Speaking of making that, like I wanted to talk to you a bit about making your Docker because that wasn't released last time. Talk to me about about that whole process, man? Was that like therapeutic for you? Was it cathartic? How did you feel doing that? Because it was a big amount of your life for a long time, right?
I took out a lot of like sad shit at the start. I was going to put it in, but I was like, maybe it's just too deep.
Dude, it was it was fucking tough, just the stuff you did put in.
I had a lot of people in tears, which was cool.
Yeah, it was crazy, bro.
It was my goal.
Yeah, it was tough to watch in like, not in a bad way, just in like the pain was so
fucking
clear.
I felt my goal was to make sure people could put themselves in my position, but in their own perspective on their life, on how they went through that sort of same sort of thing. So I believe we all go through the same traumas. Like your trauma could be a spider dying. Mine could be my dog dying. It's the same thing at the end of the day. One's worse than other, but still the same.
And the thing is, some traumas are really big, right? And they're really obvious ones. But at times, like if we talk about like, this is like stuff that people talk, you know, people doing your shadow work or healing in a child trauma. A lot of the times when you get to the root cause of that issue, it actually was a rather small thing, but it triggered something in you and then it just kept spiraling until like you act in this certain way, and then it's 10, 15 years later and you realize, oh, it was because this person rejected you and you couldn't give a fuck about this person anymore. Like you don't even know them anymore, but you still live your way fearing these things because of how that one person made you feel.
Yeah.
So it's a good point. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because like I can't even remember my past anymore. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but
you think you blocked a lot of it out?
I've just blocked it. Like, I don't even give a fuck. I feel like I feel like you can basically start a new chapter and like basically reset your game of life. So I believe like I've wiped up my whole past. Like, obviously if I go deep enough, I can remember. I remember when I was in America and I was trying to tell Mariana's family about my life. I couldn't even remember what I fucking went through, bro.
Isn't that crazy, right? I think that's a very normal like,
well, my question to you actually, do you think as humans we heal or? Wait, no, sorry. Let me ask a cooler for TikTok. Do you think humans genuinely heal? Is that a good way to ask it?
I think we learn to live with it. Yeah. I don't know about heal.
I agree.
I just think you move beyond things, and the things that used to bother you don't bother you. As you grow up and you age and you go through different phases of life and different chapters, I feel like this is just me speaking personally. This isn't something I've thought about before. The things that bothered me a year ago don't bother me today. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, it's a really interesting question. What do you think? You think people don't really heal?
I don't think we heal.
What does heal mean?
Well, like, let's go back a bit. Like, if you think people saying like, I'm going to heal my inner self, I'm going to do this, this, this. I believe when I was talking about my past, it actually made me a lot worse because I'm thinking about it.
That's a really good point. The people that I hear here. Okay, this is where we'll go with this. People it's that I hear about talking about healing or their in a child trauma, oh my God, I'm healing. That, bro, you just can, and I know, and this is like I'm not a psychologist, but the people that do that and I hear them talking about it all the time, they're the ones that are always fucking crying. They're the ones that are always fucking upset because they're reliving it over and over. I think you reconcile with it in the moment. Does that still affect you? Yes, no, move on. I don't let myself, anything that I know, unless it's constructive and there's a lesson in it for me, if there's anything that pops into my head that's going to make me doubt myself, that's going to make me insecure, that's going to bring up negative emotions for no reason, I will just not go there. Why? Why would I go there? I just think about the positive things, right? I only focus on the positive. I only focus on what I can control. And it goes back to what you said about Luke as well. Like, you can't control your past. Like, why be defined by it? Like, right now can be the start of a new chapter if you decide. And that's the way I choose to live my life. I always choose to make my decisions and how I feel based on right now in the future and where I want to go and who I want to be. If I feel stuck, I look to the future. Who do I want to be? Get really clear on that. Does that motivate me? Yes, it does. And that's the way I move forward. I'm not the type of person, and I think there's things that I need to learn and grow. I'm not the type of person that goes back and sits with old pains and traumas because I just think there's for me anyway, approaching it from that way isn't the best way for me to do it. I know some people think you need to go back and relive in it, but I would agree, like with what you said, if I did that, I think it would make me worse.
I wrote this quote when I was at the gym the other day. because I was just thinking about like, do we actually heal? Because I saw the question come up and I basically wrote down, well, let me find it because I want to make sure I say it right.
I would say though, I would argue a lot of people would say yes.
A lot of people do, but it's like it's fine. Like it's their perspective, but.
Like I would just say you don't heal, you just become, you just are. You know what I mean?
Oh, I can't find it, but it was basically something like living in your past is wasting your present time. It is. Like why would you waste the moment you have right now when this can go? Like let's just say, for example, I'm 20 now. I want to be back 18 again because I loved being 18. But then it's like you're 30, you want to be 20. When you're 40, you want to be 30. Like we never actually like a lot of people don't live in the present moment and that's what wastes time. Because the 24 hours in a day, if you're spending, well, for me, for example, I used to spend probably 6 hours of my day thinking about my past and how bad it was when it wasn't really that bad. Yes, I went through some fucked up shit, but there's always someone that's going through worse. We have a roof over our head. Like you have to be more, you have to see more of the grateful things. So instead of seeing all the negatives, like, oh, my freaking dad died or something, right? What are the great, like, what are the something positive out of that? You had great time with your dad. You got to live a good life with your dad. If you had a bad time, well, then it's maybe a good thing that he's gone. Like, it's just all how you see it. So I believe, like, I don't think we ever heal. I think if you live in the past, it's just wasting the present moment's time. And yeah, just got to keep moving forward, really.
What do you do? Because obviously, and like for anyone interested, like go back and watch the first episode we did with you. It was about a year ago.
My nan passed away like 2 weeks before, remember?
Yeah.
And I was like-
I was in your documentary as well.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Because I was emotional when I hopped on your podcast because I like so much was going on during that time. Like remember I had 6 staff, they're all gone now, doing everything alone. I make less money, but it's more profit. So it's like making more money.
Way smarter.
Yeah.
100%. How do you like navigate like your relationship to like mental health now? Like what's the main things you do to help yourself feeling good? So like not going back and constantly thinking about the trauma in the past. That's something that you've realized, hey, it's probably better for me to not focus and waste my time focusing on the past. But are there any other things that you do to try and like feel good as often as you can?
That's a good question, bro. Cause I've been thinking that a lot recently. So when I hit rock bottom last year, when I like lost all my money, I was sitting in the shower and the old me would have just sat there being like, why me? Why me? Or now I literally start laughing. I'm like, fucking try me. I literally go in my car. Well, now that I've got a bike, I'll just fucking vlog it. But I'll just sit in my car and it sounds so weird, but I just sit there and I'm like, I'm the fucking greatest. Nothing can beat me. And I sit there fucking hitting my chest and shit.
Fuck yeah.
I'm like, I'm the fucking best. Try me, cunt. Try me.
So like full on like affirmations in your own way.
Yeah, it just motivates me because it sounds so weird from the outside. But
man, when you do it. That's fucking very normal. That's like Tony Robbins shit.
Yeah. Like if you literally just fucking tell yourself and believe in yourself that nothing can actually defeat you or beat you, then you're unstoppable. Like I believe that no one's better than me. I believe that obviously people are better than me, but to myself, I'm the best.
Yeah, I feel the same.
It's delusional.
You got like, I think an element of, there's a spider crawling up the wall, by the way. That's what I keep looking at. I think having an element of like delusion, not so much like delusion, but like, I feel like everyone should feel like they're the best in a way. Not the best as in better than, but just like fucking, if you don't feel like you're the best, then what are you doing?
But that's the funny thing. Why is loving yourself or why is having an ego delusional?
Now let's say you should love yourself. No, that's too much. So what do you want? Don't fucking listen. Just to me, fucking pump up yourself, feel good. Don't doubt yourself. There's way less negatives. I would rather you go and be too confident, have too much belief in yourself, be maybe slightly a little bit arrogant than be someone who is crippled with self-doubt, overthinks everything they're going to do, doesn't put themselves in situations to make things happen. Because if your starting point is too confident, then as you get older and you mature, you can start to realize, hey, how I can smooth off some of these rough edges and maybe be a little bit more giving or humble or whatever, if that's necessary. But like for most people, they need to be going way more confident as their starting point, not less. So I think that's a good point. One last topic we'll finish up on and then we'll wrap up. Obviously, like you've created fucking heaps of like ultra viral content. Now, the way you do it is different to the way a lot of other people do it. Yours is like very cinematic stuff. So unless you're a videographer or you understand that stuff, it may be harder to recreate. But just as like a piece of advice or like what you think makes like good viral content, what would you say that is?
It's three things. It's valuable, relatable, and high quality. And a bit of authenticity. I know for a fact, I'm really good at like knowing what goes off on YouTube and Instagram. I'm telling you right now, if you're authentic in 2024 and beyond, a lot more people are going to start watching that. Like the Mr. Beast content is going to die off very soon. And it's just going to be people like Sam Sulik, for example, because people want to see real shit because everything is fake right now. Everything is distractions and people are starting to notice that. So if you're real and you're not talking shit, you'll get a lot more fans and it'll be loyal fans too because they feel like they're in the room with you. So if you can make people feel like they're with you and they're a part of you, that's where the viral, like the viral content comes. Like my last reel got 700,000 views.
And it's like, and to your point of like authenticity, the videos where you're most vulnerable often perform best out of everything.
Yeah. I'm going to change up my content soon to do more like, cause that was like last year. I want to change it to more motivational now and like more inspirational, which it was before.
But it still is like, cause through every darkness there is light, right?
Exactly. But I just want to show like that was the old me and now you get to see me just literally my life's a TV show.
So what was the four points again? Just.
Yep. So, you need relatable content, high quality content. And what was the last one? Fuck.
There was something before authentic. We literally said it's already in the podcast, but I just wanted to recap.
Oh, sorry. No, I know. I literally said, valuable, relatable, high quality, and authenticity.
Valuable, relatable, high quality.
So literally, I normally just say the three things.
That's the fucking, that's your game plan, right?
So basically when I tell my students, like I've got my students from like zero followers to 40K and stuff like that. And all I tell them is valuable, relatable, high quality. You need two of the three things. Mm-hmm. Cause not everything's going to be valuable, but it might be relatable and high quality. As long as you got high quality in there, that's already one ticked off. Now you just need to figure out is it going to be valuable or relatable.
A lot of people, I would say, I think that's what set the high quality part sets you apart. But a lot of content that goes viral these days isn't even high quality.
But iPhone's high quality.
Yeah.
It's 4K.
Yeah. But I mean, like the way that you do, all your videos look like a movie.
Some, yeah. I would agree.
It's pretty fucking high quality. Like people go and look at Caleb's Instagram. It's not like a normal person's Instagram.
Yeah. I do. It's all about like, I had this conversation with my student actually. He was saying like, he wants to do content like me, but he's like, I don't do enough cool shit. Do cool shit then. Like I didn't start with Lambos and stuff. I started jumping off cliffs and that's jumping off cliffs actually got me so much work.
You got onto the news from jumping off cliffs.
Bro, that cliff jump video got me on the news. It's got me with Luke Belmar. It got me with YKTR.
That's mental.
So it's like everything's for free really.
And did you know that was going to blow up like that before you did it?
The news?
Just that video.
Just the cliff jumping video? See, in my head, I always know deep down what's going to go viral or not. I don't know why.
Was that your first viral video though?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Crazy. And it was like millions of views.
Yeah, just because I know, I think it's on 5.7 million or whatever.
Yeah.
5.7. I just know in my head, like, what would I want to watch? Because I used to consume a lot of content. Now it's like I don't even need to consume it because I know what people want to see. Like if I want to see it, people want to see it. Especially a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Like let's just say.
I think those four pillars, man, is like all people need to know.
Yeah, that's all you need.
That's all you need to know. Create content like that. Give them at least two or three out of the four and you're fucking laughing.
Because I was going to say with Luke Belmar's content, look at all his YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. The two most highest videos were mine. All the rest below a mil. Can't even hit a mil.
Wow. And what would you say with the pillars that were in there? Obviously high quality, valuable.
It was just, bro, didn't you see the content? It was just fucking valuable. Like he's got a mad editor now. I know him. He's a sick hunt, but it's somewhat valuable, but sometimes too much is too much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need it to be real. Like our eyes can only see so much at once. If you can just, and especially not normal people, but like people that don't really watch content, they just want simple shit. So if you can just see something simple, but they get valuable, high quality and relatable out of it, that's all you need.
Mm. I love that, bro. We'll wrap up, but what's next with you? What's this year look like? You said you're going to have a potentially an MMA fight later in the year. What's some of your goals and things you're working on for this year?
Yeah, my goal is just to stay proud of myself, like search for pride, not happiness. Just make sure I'm always proud of myself each day, make sure my family's proud of me and make sure my friends are proud of me. I want to do a fight for sure. Like I'm keen for that and just keep inspiring really.
I love it, bro. And where's the best place for people to find you, any of your brands, podcasts, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, just caleb.cranius, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok.
There we go, brother. Thanks again, man. Maybe another exactly a year from today.
Maybe we should do it every year.
I know, hey, it's tradition.
Thank you, bro.
Really proud of you, bro. You've done some amazing things, obviously, like for a 20-year-old, as I said, fucking absolutely next level stuff. And it's okay to still be a 20-year-old and fuck up some shit, bro. That's normal, so. Yeah, each year maybe a little bit less fuck ups and more, yeah, you know,
but hey, once,
it's part of the process. So I love it, bro. We'll leave it there. Let's go. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or you got something out of it, do yourself a favor, do me a favor, do your friends a favor and share this with them and they can come along on this journey with us. Thanks again and I'll see you next time.